May my speaking and all our responding be in the name of God. Amen.
Amen.
Question the other week made me ponder upon our senses. And the question, which of your senses plays the greatest part in your faith? And which of the senses plays the greatest part in here, in your worship here in St. Ursula's? Sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell, other senses. The easy ones on the face of it are sight and hearing, perhaps the most obvious and clear-cut senses that we value in our faith and in our church worship, not least here in St. Ursula's, with its very walls speaking of decades of tradition, stability and permanence, and our worship with its mixture of musical tradition and modern and different styles of liturgy surrounding the proclamation of God's word to us and our response to it in penitence and faith, with voices raised and hearts lifted up, all engaging our sense of sight and hearing. And in Jesus' own ministry here on earth, we remember the many times he was asked to heal the deaf and the blind. But notice how often physical healing came in response to faith. And what in fact Jesus gave was absolution, forgiveness of their sins, restoring them to society and commending their faith. Remember also how he commends those who have not seen and yet believe. And let's not forget his criticism of the spiritually blind and the spiritually deaf, who see but do not perceive, who hear but do not understand. What of the sense of taste? Then, of course, we look no further than the Eucharist, actually tasting the bread and wine of the sacrament as we accept our Lord's invitation to share in table fellowship with him, to be companions together, literally bread sharers, which in those days meant much more than nourishment, but also meant a commitment between all who were sharing bread together. That sense of physical nourishment also important as well, as we remember Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000 people, as well as the symbolism of spiritual nourishment. But let's not forget the equally important symbolism of sharing in his suffering and death. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. What of touch? How sad it is that the current norms of our frightened and safeguarded society keep those who care at a physical distance, when often a hug is what is needed most. That sense of being held, of warmth, care and security, be it a child who has fallen in the playground and hurt itself, or the frightened widow who feels so lonely and for whom words are not enough. Remember how often Jesus touched those who came to him or were brought to him for healing. At least one good thing that's developing in the church modernly, and that is the ministry of the laying on of hands, where the priest with one or two helpers prays for the wholeness and healing of someone by laying his or hands on their head and often anointing with oil. That sense of touch being greatly valued by the recipient, because sometimes God can feel a long way away. And that anointing, publicly announced that the person being anointed is special to God, is something that's happened to each one of us. Each one of us who have been baptized. Because, as we shall be reminded very shortly when we baptize Yona, I anoint him, and by so doing proclaim publicly that he is special to God. It's good to be reminded that each one of us is special to God, uniquely created in his image with his breath of life, each one of us uniquely held by him. But back to the senses, what of the sense of smell? That's a hard one, isn't it? Well, certainly it is hard for those of us, for those who have to worship in musty, cold and damp church buildings. And how fortunate we are here in St. Ursula's with the new heating system. A fortnight ago at St. Peter and Paul Old Catholic Church for Nacht der Religionen, they had incense burning on the altar during choral evensong. Fortunately, the drafts were blowing the smoke away from me and the singers. But whatever one feels about incense in a service, that smell of perfume is a reminder of prayers rising, that it's a spiritual space, a place apart, where all the senses can be engaged in response to God. And it's a pity that its use is maligned or misunderstood as particularly part of just one part of the church. What of the sixth sense, though? Now, if you talk to Art, he will tell you about another three or four senses that he's aware of, but I don't understand all that stuff. You can talk to Art about that later, sorry. But for me, I think the sixth sense is something that's even more important than the rest, because I suddenly realized that it's the sixth sense which is most important of all. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's two things. First, it's the sense of other, a force for good, a force for love that's beyond ourselves, but actually here, surrounding us, walking with us, overwatching us, a force Christians call their Father, our Father, God himself. And the second meaning for me, the sixth sense, is the greater consciousness of the eternal bit within us, living in perishable bodies that I spoke about 3 weeks ago, that unique, ageless breath of God, that unique awareness of being loved, held, forgiven, and energized, that engages all our senses, our very being, and directs the choices we make and the priorities we choose. The energy that pricks our conscience and challenges the way we look at others and the world in which we live. Church worship, therefore, is not only about engaging all our senses, but also deepening our spiritual awareness, being in touch with that sacred energy that is all around us, but also that energy that's deep within us, which needs to be nourished and allowed to grow into the fullness of our lives and of our very being, directing our actions, challenging our decisions, and enfolding us with an eternal love. And for that fact, thanks be to God. Amen.